Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. I love the new intro, Big Cass. I mean, it is fire. I love it, man. Thanks for getting that made for us.
Yeah, DJ Brooks Guy, thank you, from Ohio Media School. I graduated, I think, last year. Did a great job. She's going to make us a basketball one, too. We got it once basketball season starts. Unfortunately, we usually break on the show on a higher note, but we have lost a Buckeye in the Buckeye family.
Oh, yeah.
Due to COVID, a 2002 national champion and a teammate of a good friend of ours, TJ Downing. Ivan Douglas, starting offensive lineman from the 2002 national championship team, lost his battle with COVID. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. That we lost him today. I know over the weekend, we saw some news that he wasn't doing so good. So our thoughts and prayers to the Buckeye Nation, and it sucks to lose a fellow Buckeye.
It is. And I mean, he's famously known for, you know, being on that 2002 national championship team. But it's sad. And also we lost another Buckeye, the week before in an incident. It was an apartment fire. So, I mean, it's sad what's going on right now.
Yeah. That was Devin Bogard.
Yeah.
He was on the 2014 national champion team. Sucks to see, two national championship Buckeyes lose their lives, but we know both of them are in the Buckeye Nation's heart, and including their teammates. I know Joshua Perry and Evan Spencer put out on social media how heartfelt they were about Devin Bogard. And if you get a listen to their podcast, Nightmares, Dreams and Nightmares, about the 2014 season, Devin Bogard's name was mentioned a lot in that podcast, and what he meant to Joshua Perry and Evan Spencer. So, So unfortunately,
he was definitely one of the unsung guys on that team too. You know,
yeah, he was a huge special teams player.
Absolutely, not like the biggest name, but he was. If you know the people that have like been tweeting about Bogard, like it was a horrific thing that happened. You know, apparently he loved his son, was like really working hard at like coaching in the high school level, and just loved his son. And then it's so sad that happened to such a fine young man.
But on a brighter note, bye week blues, man. What did you do during the bye week, man? I know we were supposed to drop an episode with TJ Downing, but unfortunately we had some things come up personally for all three of us, actually.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And, how was your bye week, man?
It was relaxing. It was a much needed relaxing bye week. I think as a podcaster, we have a lot of stress like the players. And it just felt good to kind of watch the games this week without not a ton of vested interest. I was having fun watching the Cal Oregon game Friday night, some good games Friday night. Then, you know, we watched the Iowa upset. Well, the Purdue upset over Iowa. and then I got a house. So ended up buying a house, first house, well, in contract, so got to finish closing and everything. But I got a house in Plain City, so, I mean, pretty productive bye week, I would say. What about you, Cass?
Well, mine was pretty productive. We closed down our camper last weekend, but we did enjoy some great football. Got to, you know, obviously the Purdue upsetting Iowa. That's the key topic, especially, but I paid a lot of attention to the Michigan State Indiana game. We'll get more into that a little bit, but I have some huge news. Everybody formally knows that I do college football on Fox, aka the Big Noon Kickoff show also, but NFL on Fox had contacted me, and I have accepted a same position, but to do the live Veterans Day broadcast in Annapolis, Maryland, at the Naval Academy. I'll be gone for 10 days. I'll be missing the Nebraska game. Obviously, I'll have my headphones and my phone and listen to the game. but I will be headed to the Veterans Day live broadcast with the NFL on Fox Crew in November, starting November. I fly in November 1st, and I'll be back November 9th in the evening. So, but I got to grind. Yeah, but I got to grind hard at work. Right now we're mandatory overtime, but also I had to make a deal where I had to make up some hours because some of this is going to be unpaid at my normal job. So I got to put in a lot of grind in November. So it's going to be, as Urban Meyer called it, the most important month of college football in November. So the grind of November.
It is. I mean, I feel that November. No, it's not even November yet. It's still October, and I'm feeling the grind coming. But, I mean, before the bye week, Cass, Ohio State had a dominant win over Maryland. We haven't even talked about that. So let's get into it. I mean, I know it's old news to most people, but we didn't cover it yet. So Ohio State 66, Maryland 17. C.J. Stroud looks like a completely different player. 406 yards, 5 touchdowns. Travion Henderson, fantastic as always. 102 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cass, you were there. What were your thoughts on the game?
I was just taking it all in, being on the sidelines, being that close to the players. Offensively, that obviously the greatest play of the game was, you know, I got it live in video. And right before that was a video where the ball was just a little bit misplaced for Olave. That video would have been a lot better than the one I got. Mm-hmm. And that was when the dude clearly pushed it. It was a pass interference, and Olave still came up with the ball. But I went back and watched highlights like I always do, and I was watching C.J. Stroud highlights today. But I especially watched the Maryland one because I knew we were going to be breaking this down. And the dude just was on the money. Like, he had no bad balls. He was running out of the pocket. He was just creating space, checking down his third, fourth option because he hit Rucker and Henderson a couple times. Mm-hmm. Maryland had no answer for 2, 5, and 11. It's just getting better for this offense. And that offensive line, that C.J. Stroud has enough time to go to the sideline, get a drink of Gatorade, take a selfie with a fan, come back and still have time to throw the ball. That's this offensive line. I'm so impressed with DeJuan Jones and Nicholas Petit-Frere and Thayer Munford. I mean, we knew with Thayer and Petit-Frere, but that right side with the right side of the offensive line with DeJuan Jones and Paris Johnson has been phenomenal just as well.
I mean, I just want to take a moment to just kind of like, This might sound extreme to some people, but just take a moment. This is, I think, and we were going to talk about it last week about receiving cores and, like, you know, the best receiving cores. I have a hot take. This is the best Ohio State receiving core of all time.
Oh, you know, for sure.
I think we don't even realize how good it is right now. But I mean, this trio: Olave, JSN, Garrett Wilson, basically. The three of them almost combined for, you know, 100 yards each. Travion Henderson is basically a receiver too at this point because they use him so much out of the backfield. 4 catches, almost 67 yards. Emeka Abuka, who's been really coming on and is really flashing. I think he's going to make an impact down the road. I really do. Like, he might be like Chris Olave, how he came on his freshman year at the end. He looks fantastic. This receiving core might go for, you know, 3,000 yard receivers and a lot of big time contributors.
Absolutely. And I feel that Jordan Hall's kick return for a touchdown. That's the last one since 2010. I think it's in jeopardy. I really do. I think we're going to see Emeka Abuka get home.
He's close. He is, and he's very explosive. I think we kind of underestimated his explosiveness. Obviously, we knew he was a stud, but watching him play in person, he's a deep threat. And I think that's honestly where he's going to make his biggest impact. I think we'll see
for sure
the game coming up in a big time moment, get a one-on-one matchup and throw a deep ball to him. Cause he looks like he's about ready to take the next step.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait to see this team get back in action, you know, over the bye week, it's just like, ugh. But what they did against Maryland on offensively, just they couldn't stop them. I don't think Jesse Mirko attempted a punt until the fourth quarter, if he even did a punt. It's just how dominant this Buckeyes offense has been. And I know the talent, people say the talent. I mean, I don't care who you're playing. You rack up three straight 50-plus point games. Come on now. Like, it's insane.
I think the Buckeyes have earned the respect back. And also the defense. The defense has played so much better. Like, four straight defensive touchdowns.
By the way, who leads the nation in defensive touchdowns?
The Buckeyes.
The Buckeyes.
The one game they didn't have a defensive touchdown was the Oregon game.
Yeah.
That's literally unreal.
That's because they played an experienced offense that didn't turn the ball over. I mean,
yeah.
The Oregon, despite the Oregon struggles right now, yeah, they lost to Stanford. They don't turn the ball over. Like,
it's a very boring offense they run.
Yeah, they just – I don't know. I don't know what to think of Oregon. I feel like if we played them again, we win by three touchdowns. That's just my opinion. But
yeah, now that – I think now that we know how to defend them, now too that like Denzel Burke – and I feel like now we're not rotating in and out as many guys. Like, it looks like Steel Chambers is our best linebacker now. Denzel Burke's a number one corner. I think we found our identity on defense.
Ronnie Hickman, though, does he identify as a linebacker or does he identify as a DB? Because if you watch because I go back and rewatch games. If you watch the Fox broadcast, they had him listed as a linebacker, but BTN had him listed as a safety. So it just maybe depends on what game and the scheme of the team that they're playing.
He's a better Jabril Peppers.
On defense.
Like, literally, similar players.
And he has more interceptions already, too.
That wasn't that hard to do. I mean,
he didn't have to have it off a tip ball in the last regular season game of his career.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But, I mean, they are kind of the same player, other than we don't have to play Hickman on offense because we actually have talent.
Right. My question to you, Dan, this is the halfway point of the season. Does Ohio State have the offensive player of the year and the defensive player of the year? I know a lot of the talk are being about Hutchinson of Michigan and the kid from Iowa, but I think Ronnie Hickman – I think right now, in my opinion, he's defensive player of the so far in the midseason. He's defensive player of the year in the Big Ten, and I think CJ Stroud is the offensive player of the year in the Big Ten.
Well, I agree with Stroud being the offensive player. I don't see you can make the argument for Michigan State's Kenneth Walker, but then you could also make the argument for Travion Henderson. So, I mean, I think
Chris Olave.
A Buckeye is going to win the offensive player in some shape or form, I think. But the defensive player of the year, I mean, that's tough, Cass, just because
Hutchinson's been good.
Hickman's been really good, but the problem is, does the Oregon loss really kind of detract from that? He only has two interceptions, about 50 tackles. If he breaks 100 tackles, I think he might need to get a sack or two, a couple interceptions. He has to make a couple more big plays because it's tough. It's tough. I know, and I think he's been a lot better than the Hutchinson kid on Michigan. But it's the media, I think, definitely hypes up Hutchinson more than Hickman.
Sure. For sure.
That's tough because you got to win the media to win these awards sometimes.
And what's crazy is, too, is – Ryan, here's a good question. I'll do this when we get talking about the Big Ten games that happened last week. But Ryan Day, like, obviously he's undefeated in the Big Ten. Obviously, he's not going to win the Big Ten Coach of the Year. I mean, they're not going to give that to him. Mel Tucker would probably get it this year. But what Ryan Day has done as his third season as a head coach and not lost to a Big Ten team. Granted, we still got six games left, but it's unthinkable of what he's done. Like, it's, and we just got two huge booms this week too. Kenate Jackson, that four-star defensive end, and then the three-star offensive lineman from St. Clairsville. But
what some people were like freaking out about, it's like Ohio State has. when they recruit a three-star guy, he's usually a diamond in the rough, and he always turns out to be a stud.
Yeah, I think they were talking about this earlier on the radio. I think DeJuan Jones. I'm looking up his recruiting right now.
Like apparently, like DeJuan Jones didn't have a ranking, really low.
Okay, DeJuan Jones is the all Big Ten offensive tackle this year, in my opinion. He was ranked 13th in the state of Indiana. He was the 86th ranked offensive tackle, and he was the 1,043rd national player ranked. And he was a three-star athlete. And guess what Coach Stud did? Turned him into a stud.
I mean, if they offer a three-star, they definitely see something in him.
It's the potential.
Yeah, I mean, Avery Henry, I believe he could develop into a good player. I trust the coaching staff. I mean, you look at him, he rocks a man bun. So, like, I like that right away on my offensive lineman. I mean, like, he's 6'6", 305 pounds. He's a monster. Right. He's an Ohio kid, class of 2022. Like, let's go. Like, I mean, like, let's stop looking at the stars and just trust our coaching staff to see what their eyes on the film and what this player's put on the field. I'm excited. I think, I mean, he definitely looks like he could develop into a stud here.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of these. I know we can't – Maryland, we all know. Let's just move on. Let's talk about some of these Big Ten games that happened over the weekend. Your take on Indiana-Michigan State, if you watched any of that?
I didn't, actually. That was the beauty of the bye week. Yeah, so instead of watching the Michigan State-Indiana game cast, I was checking out the UCF-Cincinnati game. I thought that one was going to be decent. UC looks really good. I'm still not sold on Ritter being a Heisman candidate. He's a solid quarterback, but I was impressed by Cincinnati, believe it or not. And then I also had on the Georgia-Kentucky game, which looked good for the first quarter, and then Georgia really just was a better offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've seen Cincinnati. I don't know. They don't play nobody. This weekend is a real true test for the Buckeyes. To really separate themselves from Cincinnati. Indiana only lost by 14 to Cincinnati. But Indiana, just their offense stinks. Like, it's awful without Michael Penix. Freifogel I don't know if he's not the same guy he was last year. But that their defense is really solid. They held Kenneth Walker to 26 carries to, like, 62 yards. But again, Michigan State, I don't think they really have a quarterback or the weapons like Ohio State does.
Well, they have the number one wide receiver coach in the Big Ten, apparently.
Gosh. I think I sent that to you. I was just like, what? Even sent it to my buddy AP, our buddy from Penn State. It's just like Michigan State is, I don't know what to think of them. Like, I really don't. I like Kenneth Walker, but I don't know what to think of them.
I don't think they're good, but they keep winning.
They're winning.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, right. But obviously we all caught the Purdue game, the Purdue-Iowa game. And man, how many times does Purdue come in the middle of October and beat a highly ranked opponent? We were looking up, and there's like a handful of games.
They're the Grim Reaper. You don't want to play them in October, man. I'll give Purdue credit, though. They went in into Kinnick, and that quarterback, Jack Plummer, he made some throws.
I thought it was O'Connell, too.
Oh, it was O'Connell. Yeah, it was O'Connell. Whatever. It's the Purdue quarterback. Who cares? Like, he literally was throwing dives, though, like under pressure, throwing up to Bell. Bell just cooked
The problem was Iowa couldn't stay on the field. Their offense couldn't stay on the field. They couldn't move the ball.
No, I mean, it was – It was unreal. Demetrius Bell had 11 catches, 240 receiving yards, and a touchdown.
Purdue now controls their own destiny to the Big Ten West Championship.
Like, to put that in perspective, too, Demetrius Bell had the production of, like, JSN, Olave, and, like, Travion Henderson, if you combined all their receiving yards against, like, he did that, and our three guys combined for that. So, like, that was a monster day. Like, I don't think people understand how impressive that was.
It was very, very impressive. I mean, but Iowa still has a great shot to get to the Indy. I think Purdue has a great shot to get to Indy. It's just, you know, they got to run through the gauntlet. They got to play Ohio State. They got, you know.
We know.
The one game that was a pretty good game, the outcome, the score looks a lot worse than it was the Oklahoma-TCU game. That was pretty entertaining at times, I would say. Even though Oklahoma won by 21, that receiver on TCU, Quentin Johnson, he was phenomenal. He had seven catches, three touchdowns.
That was a fun game to watch, to be honest with you, what I saw. I really like Caleb Williams. And, I mean, I think the offense hums better. I said this at the beginning of the year, that Oklahoma's a dangerous team. I thought Spencer Rattler would take that push forward, but I see that Caleb Williams is the guy. Now the question is where's Spencer Rattler going to go? I mean, the biggest thing to look at is watch Arizona State and watch USC. Arizona State's already established with Herm Edwards, but USC is the huge question mark because they don't have a head coach right now. And if they can get a head coach in there, maybe Spencer Rattler can go closer to home and play for USC because he's still got great talent. He still has wonderful talent.
I think it's Clemson.
I hope not.
I don't want. I'm terrified of it because imagine playing a playoff game and we're getting cooked by Spencer Rattler and Dabo. I couldn't think of a worse duo to like just hate because like that that is like my ultimate fear. Like they team up and like form the Justice League and what was it, the Legion of Doom or whatever.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Whatever. It's the villains, like all the DC villains team up and they form like the Legion of Doom or something it's called. It's like the Joker and Bane and everyone teams up. Like that's what it would be if Spencer Rattler and Dabo teamed up. And that's my fear. Like that is my fear.
I don't know. He might jump ship and try to go in the NFL. I mean, I don't know. So we'll see. But we have a game this week, finally. Hate bye weeks. I really do. But we have Indiana this week, man. At Indiana, 7:30 kick against ABC. By the way, Buckeye Nation, you got your wish. Penn State's a night game. I might be the only one in Buckeye Nation that's somewhat sad because I don't get a Fox check for that. But that's okay.
So but Penn you State, know what? You'll survive, though. I'm still gonna. I got tickets to the game. I'm wearing the Big Noon Kickoff hat to the game.
Wearing the game day.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm wearing the Big Noon Kickoff hat to game day, protesting it.
If ESPN College Game Day is there, you should wear that hat.
Oh, I 100% am. I'm 100% wearing the Big Noon Kickoff. My allegiance lies with Big Noon Kickoff. I like Big Noon Kickoff more than Game Day. I truly do. Like, when the Big Noon Kickoff comes on the channel, I flip from Game Day to Big Noon Kickoff. Now, don't get me wrong. Game Day is great from, like, 9 a.m. to, like, 10:30, and then you got to go to Big Noon Kickoff.
That's because they talk a little bit about the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They don't talk about the Big Ten on ESPN. That's why, like, I was somewhat upset that the Big Ten didn't pick up – Fox didn't pick up – the Penn State game, not one, you know, the surviving and not getting checked, but that's okay. But I like Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson better. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson can make Rutgers versus, I mean, wait, they're not Rutgers versus Northwestern a great game. Like, come on.
Yeah. So,
but anyways,
Indiana, I'm, I am a little concerned because Indiana Hoosiers Japan, the Twitter account, has not tweeted in a year. So I hope he's doing all right, because I'm checking to see if he's – because he hyped it up. He hyped it up last game before we played. He's like big breakfast for big victory. But it's like in like the – it's written in Japanese on Twitter, so it looks sick when you like translate it. I hope he's doing well though, because usually he's talking smack by now, but he hasn't tweeted.
Well, let me say this. We get Cam Brown and Haskell Garrett back, which is huge. I think we're going in healthy, which is going to be awesome. I think these guys are going to stay hungry. But I don't – like after watching last week's game against Minnesota, I don't see Indiana moving the ball very, very well. They might early because it's a night game, that crowd. They might move the ball a little bit early, a little bit starting off. But I think after Ohio State's defense, after a series of two settles down, I don't think there's much of Indiana's offense that we're going to be impressed with.
I mean, yeah, without Penix, that's a big blow. Jax Tuttle is probably not getting the job done. They still have Freifogel. He's a threat. He's a weapon. I'm not too worried about him, but
they have no running game.
Yeah, they have no run. I mean, Stephen Carr is a fifth-year senior from USC. He is their starting tailback. He has 121 yards on the season. Looks like four touchdowns. I mean, he's all right, but that's not anything that's going to really threaten the defense.
No, absolutely not. And I think Ohio State's defense has gotten better. Sorry, folks, for yawning and talking at the same time. I've been logging in a lot of hours at work, so. But I think that Ohio State's defense has gotten a lot better, and they've risen to the occasion. I think JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer, in my opinion, skill-wise, are the best defensive ends on the team. But obviously they're young and they haven't developed like the Zach Harrison. I'm waiting for a Zach Harrison 3-sack game. I think this could be it. I don't think the offensive line of Indiana is strong enough to, push these guys around. So I think this could be the game where Zach Harrison gets his 3 sacks.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you guys really got to worry about Freifogel. I would say he's got to be your number one key. And then the tight end, yes. Hendershot, he's also probably a guy obviously. To use. And then just stop the run. It's you don't have to worry about Penix. At least had legs. Tuttle doesn't seem like a guy that's going to really run for 100 yards on you or something like that. Not that Penix was really a guy like that, but I think he was a little more mobile than Tuttle,
right?
In my opinion. I mean, Jack Tuttle he's not going to be burning your defense through his legs.
And I think that Ohio State's defense is going to play with a chip on her shoulder. I think after last year's game, they feel threatened, and they were up big and allowed a huge comeback. I think they're going to play a little chip hungry and play with a chip on their shoulder and try to get after the quarterback and get after what they need to do. But offensively, Indiana's going to throw some schemes at CJ Stroud, which I think the running game, I look for Mayan Williams and Master Teague to have some big games along with Travion Henderson. I mean, I think Travion Henderson could have a huge game also. I think the running game is going to be a huge key factor in this game. That will open up CJ Stroud in the passing game. Obviously, the strength of Indiana is their defense. But I think with the weapons that CJ has and the offensive line, I don't think we're going to have a problem on offense either.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Indiana is probably the most disappointing team in college football this year. I thought they were going to be really good.
They're one of them.
They 2-4. This is a big game for them because their season at this point, it's pretty much a bust.
Right. And those four losses though, Michigan State, Cincinnati, who else? Michigan State, Cincinnati. I feel like Penn State,
Iowa, I believe.
In Iowa, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like
they played. I will say that is a brutal schedule.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's the Big Ten, and you got to win your games. And I know Indiana, I mean, it's at Indiana. It's a big game because they want to try to ruin our season. But, I mean, I feel just so disrespected from last year. I know probably the players do too after we beat Indiana and they still felt like they should have went to the Big Ten championship game on a technicality. It was just the most ridiculous thing, especially too when teams were literally just canceling their games to avoid playing the Buckeyes. I know it's not politically correct to say because there was a virus, but that was the truth, and everyone knew it deep down.
Team up north,
yeah, that team.
I say that
Maryland, definitely. You can't. I don't think you can deny Maryland didn't cancel.
Well, Maryland canceled the game the week after too, so you got to give them at least that.
That Michigan. Was a save face, I think, because
– Oh, wait. It was Michigan, Maryland that canceled, right?
Yep. Yeah. They both can. Maryland and Michigan had – Mike Locksley and Jim Harbaugh and who's Josh Gattis.
They all have – Josh Gattis and Locksley coached together at Alabama. They all
– Colluded.
They colluded together and said, we're canceling – so we avoid to play the Buckeyes.
I think that needs to be investigated. I really think that's probably what happened. And
maybe Lifetime Movie Network could come out.
And I will say, did you notice how many times we injured a Maryland player this weekend? Well, when we played Maryland, like, there were so many injured players on Maryland. That was a Chase Young revenge game because, like, they canceled us because they didn't want to play us from 2019 because we all know they snitched on Chase Young. And then – They got punished. They got punished hard 2 weeks ago. So I'm happy with the outcome. But, like, yes, there were teams trying to dodge us. In Indiana, you didn't deserve to go to the title game. And rightfully so, they didn't.
All right, let's get some score predictions and keys to victory. Score prediction, I'm going 42-13. I just think Indiana's defense is a little bit better than Maryland's. But they don't have much offense, but they will. I think they'll score early to keep that crowd into it. And then I think the Buckeyes just completely open it up and they'll win the 42-13.
It does concern me that it's a night game on the road like that. That could be like I feel like the crowd could definitely be a factor because Indiana has some good fans. I'll give them that.
I just know that there's a lot of Ohio State fans going.
It's going to be a lot of red in the stands for sure. I mean, I got the Buckeyes. 59 total. I'm going to say 48-14 Buckeyes.
So we both had about the same – around the same score.
Yeah, I think Indiana will get a touchdown or two. Okay,
let's do 45-13. I think we'll get a touchdown. We'll get a field goal in there. 45-13.
I'll do 40. Yeah, I think we'll get two field goals. I think Indiana will do a good job of making it – watchable for the first half. It will be, I think they'll get a stop or two. We might have to kick a field goal. They'll score, keep it interesting. And then the second half will obviously pull away. I think you kind of alluded to it before. I think we're going to get a special teams touchdown return, either a kickoff or a punt return touchdown. I got my money on Garrett Wilson punt return touchdown. That's what I would go with.
I don't think he's good. I don't think it'll be this week, but I think Emeka Buka does see the end zone, but not as a kick returner.
Shades of Jalen Marshall. We're going to have the shades of Jalen Marshall in 2014 when he had a punt return against Indiana. I think we'll get something like that.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's going to be a great night of football. Can't wait to get back in action. Really, you know, but my keys to the victory, don't get complacent. You're starting to start rolling. You're starting to play your best football. Don't get complacent. Don't turn the ball over and just play Buckeye football.
My key to victory is make sure, you know, we keep Stroud's confidence up. I think just let's continue to build on his confidence right now, the way he's playing. So early, it's going to probably be a hostile environment. Let's get him some good, smooth completions to begin with, just to get his confidence up so he's not rattled like he was kind of against Minnesota, and just continue to build off, you know, his growth. Because his growth of late, where he's, you know, where he started the season to where he is now, he's in the running for the Heisman. It might be tough for him to win, but some people say, you know, it's his. It's tough to say at this point because it's really anyone's game, but – let's keep, you know, Stroud's confidence going. Let's see where we go from there.
Absolutely. All right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, no, all you, Cass.
I was going to go to the games this week.
That's what I was about to go. I was pulling it up right now.
Yeah, our favorite topic of the week.
It really is. I enjoy this.
All right.
How about App State yesterday, by the way? they ran the Chris Olave onside kick play. It wasn't executed as smoothly because it bounced once before it went to the guy who caught it, but it was literally the same exact idea and basically same exact play.
Absolutely. How about SMU right now? It's up 31-7 early third quarter on Tulane. I know it's Tulane, but SMU could be the team to fight against the Bearcats this year because they probably have to play them twice.
Absolutely. And by the way, this is the same Tulane team that gave Oklahoma problems week one. Don't forget that. 1-5 Tulane.
Yes, absolutely. Let's dive right into it. Big noon kickoff is up in Ann Arbor. Northwestern is struggling bad against, and they're playing Michigan, who against teams that struggle, they seem to struggle too. They play down to their opponent. Michigan is a 23.5 point favorite in this game. I think they win, but I don't think they cover, man.
I feel like that's free money right there. I would definitely take Northwestern plus the points right there easily. I could definitely see Northwestern pulling off the upset. I feel like they're a team that they're respected. I mean, that's the battle of the nerds right there. The smart guys in the conference, apparently. So, I mean, I guess Michigan will win, but I do think that's a keep your eye on it game.
Yeah, absolutely. Wisconsin Purdue. Wisconsin's a 3.5 point favorite over Purdue. 330 BTN.
Yeah, I definitely think I think Wisconsin will, because Wisconsin is due to string some wins together. I'm definitely going to say the Badgers win that one. Purdue, I mean, great win against Iowa. I think they're going to be flying a little too high this week, though, and Wisconsin will bring them back to earth.
Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
That's a sneaky good game. That is honestly.
Iowa State is favored. Let's do this as a pick 'em. We just named some games that we're keep your eye on. This will be our first to pick 'em. I'm going with the Cyclones, man. I know everybody's riding high with Oklahoma State, but give me the Cyclones. I know they are being considered one of the most disappointing teams in the country right now. Maybe Iowa gets their revenge, get some confidence, and they win a big one at home.
I mean, they're disappointing, but they're 4-2. It's not like they're like, I have two wins like Indiana. It's just Iowa State. They lost to Iowa. I mean, that really hurt them early. And then they lost by 2 to Baylor. I wouldn't say they're super disappointing. I feel like it's just kind of about where Iowa State is. They're, you know, 2-3 loss team, maybe fight for to get into the championship game of the Big 12, and then maybe a New Year's Six Bowl if it's a great season. I mean, that's about what Iowa State is. They're never going to get the recruits to compete for a national championship. They'll be pesky. They'll knock on the door of getting into the playoff sometimes, but I don't think they're, you know, an elite program by any means.
Yeah. So who you got? I got Iowa State.
I'll go Oklahoma State. I like their defense.
Oregon at UCLA. UCLA is a 1-point favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely see why they're a favorite by a point. I can definitely understand it, but I like Oregon.
Yeah, I do too. I like Oregon also. All right. LSU at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is throwing everything at the books for Arch Manning, except for French's mustard and golf balls.
thank you. We got to talk about that, by the way.
Which we will in the next two games that's coming up. But Ole Miss is throwing everything out. Because Arch Manning is there visiting Ole Miss. Obviously, they are honoring Archie Manning and Eli Manning, including retiring Eli Manning's jersey. They wrote in the end zones will say Manning. So LSU, Ole Miss, give me the Go Tigers over the Rebels on this, because I think all this hype that Ole Miss is doing for Arch Manning could backfire. Give me the Go Tigers. LSU. Give me LSU.
No, I mean, I'm definitely going to go with Ole Miss here. They're a good team. They're a really good program.
They
right
are
now.
A good team.
I'm impressed. If they win out, they're going to be like the Texas A&M last season. Like, didn't get into the playoffs, had a legitimate reason why. I really like Ole Miss. They can put up a lot of points too. I'm definitely going Ole Miss there. I think they blow the brakes off LSU. LSU, they got that win against Florida, emotional win, but then Coach O stepping down after the season. So give me the Rebels, man.
I only picked the Tigers just because I wanted to say go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
and what they're doing with Ole Miss, what Ole Miss is doing for the Mannings is just funny to me.
I know. All right.
I can't believe I'm saying this. At the beginning of the season, if I told you that Pittsburgh would be ranked and Clemson wouldn't, what would you do? Clemson at Pitt.
I'd ask what happened? What went wrong?
We still need to know what's going on with Clemson, but they play Pitt this week. For some reason I like Clemson in this game.
No, I like Pitt. I mean, they have the better quarterback by far. it's the truth. He wasn't even good against Syracuse. That game was Syracuse was a field goal away from going in overtime. And honestly, if Dino Babers knew how to run the clock, like manage the clock, and actually like call a game, they probably should have won that. But Syracuse is a horrible program. They beat Clemson by three. Pittsburgh's actually decent this year. I think Pittsburgh wins this by a couple scores if everything plays out the correct way.
Actually, I really actually have Pittsburgh too. I just was being funny. I don't think Clemson – they Ohio State broke them. I don't care. I know Georgia fans are saying, we broke them. No, Ohio State broke Clemson. I'm sorry. But I like Pittsburgh also. I was just playing around there. All right, we have to talk about the French's and golf ball throwing. Tennessee is at Alabama this week. Alabama's a 25-point favorite. Do you think in Tuscaloosa, the security guard, their version of the Redcoats, will be checking for Tennessee fans that will have golf balls and French's mustard? And if I'm an Alabama fan, I'm making fun of Tennessee so hardcore this weekend. Maybe, since it's close to Halloween, maybe dress up like French's mustard or something. I mean, at this game against that Tennessee. But how about the Tennessee fan, man, last week?
I'm kicking myself because I legitimately watched that whole game in bed up until the last 5 minutes of that game, and I fell asleep because it was so late. And I am so sad. Not about the incident that happened at Tennessee, Cass. I think anyone who watches this show is going to know why I'm sad. Because Joe Milton came into the game. Joe Milton came into the game with a chance to win. He threw a beautiful ball. Receiver didn't come down with it. Like, lazy play by the receiver. And then the next play, Joe Milton runs out of bounds with 3 seconds left on the clock. He starts to play with 3 seconds left on the clock and just runs out of bounds. And that's it. Like, didn't even throw into the end zone from 20 yards out. So the Joe Milton Heisman campaign is officially – not that it had life, but that right there is the freaking epitome of it. I'm so sad. I bought the shirt for nothing. But, yeah, I mean, that was just wild. They had to evacuate the cheerleaders too. Their own cheerleaders.
The band.
Lane Kiffin, Odell. I think it was – he didn't Odell the golf ball, but someone else threw, like, I think mustard at him. And he, like, Odelled it. It was unreal. Yeah. Crazy situation.
For sure. But if I'm Alabama, I'm trolling these guys so hardcore this weekend, Alabama fans. Maybe dress up like mustard, like I said. But we're not going to pick that one. I just had to mention that just because, one, I think Alabama toast them. But it's just funny that we had to talk about it.
But what if Tennessee wins? Like, just let's just like, what? How cool would it be to see if Tennessee won after the situation?
It would be cool, and then the Joe Milton Heisman campaign will be reemerged.
If Joe Milton comes into the game late and throws a touchdown or something to beat Alabama, Heisman campaign back on. Because if the Caleb Williams guy at Oklahoma could get a Heisman campaign going after like a game and a half, Joe Milton deserves one.
So, all right. Their games really aren't that good. We got San Diego State at Air Force, 6-0 versus 6-1. Air Force is a 3-point favorite. Don't know much about these teams. I just know the Aztecs are undefeated.
The games aren't really good, but no. There's going to be an upset or two this week, I bet. I would bet at least 2 top 10 upsets happen this week.
I can almost say USC over Notre Dame. I know it's at Notre Dame, but I don't know much about USC, so I'm going to scratch that one. South Carolina is at Texas A&M. NC State, Miami. They're just the games. The one that I think could be an upset, and we said this earlier, is UCLA and Oregon. I really do.
I mean, UCLA has a very good team this year. They got a lot of offensive weapons between their running back, their quarterback, their tight end, some good receivers. It's just, you know, if Oregon actually comes to play with their talent, and they got to bring their talent too. Like, Oregon can't afford to have, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau missing halves for targeting and stuff like that. But if Oregon comes fully healthy and plays like they did against Ohio State, they will definitely beat UCLA.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, that is that this week.
Yeah, I think that's it, Cass. I mean, you got anything else?
No, I can't wait for next week. I mean, enjoy the games this week, but next week it's on. We have a lot to break. We have a lot to break down next week. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. I believe there's some other big time matchups. I'm going to look ahead real quick. Looking ahead, Iowa's at Wisconsin. Yeah. Georgia, Florida. Largest outdoor car. Yeah. Auburn, Ole Miss. Ohio State, Penn State. North Carolina, Notre Dame. Michigan, Michigan State, which doesn't have a time, but that's going to be a big noon kickoff game.
Yeah, I mean, sure. We've got some great games. I don't feel bad because I love big noon kickoff, but all the Michigan and Michigan State fans complaining about big noon kickoff coming to them, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it at all. All right, it's a great go to big noon kickoff. Go get your free Wendy's, get a hat, get a shirt. Like, you suck it up and have some fun.
For sure. But that's next week. This week, enjoy the games. Big rivalry week for me this week. I have the Birmingham Rockets at the Fisher Catholic Fighting Irish. I personally played in this rivalry back in the day. And my junior year, I will say that we lost 14-6 to our arch rivals, Fisher Catholic, by a yard, actually less than a yard. We failed to convert on fourth and goal and basically lost our chance to the playoffs. But that Fisher Catholic team was very good that year. They lost, I think, one game in the regular season, and they went deep in the playoffs. So Division 7, Birmingham at Fisher Catholic tomorrow night. Fisher, I think it's 5-4 on the season. Fisher is 4-4 on the season, or 4-3. Because for some reason, they don't have 10 games because of scheduling, because they only have 6 teams in the league. So I think Birmingham is 8-0, and Fisher is, I want to say, 4-3 or 4-4, but if Birmingham wins, they've already clinched a share of the title, but if they win, it would be their second straight outright title. But they got to get through their arch rivals. It's kind of like Ohio State, Michigan, you know what I mean? And Division 7 high school football.
I love it, man. I mean, I'm psyched. I guess I got to root for Jonathan Alder High School now because I'm moving to Plain City.
Good program, though.
Are they really? I know Donnie Nicky played there. That's really it. Former guest of the show. But
that's a good program. Unfortunately, they've had some growing pains this year. But that's a good program.
That's good. That's good to hear. It's like literally a mile and a half down from the house. So the goal is, you know, hopefully become I'm a Pioneer fan now.
So everybody enjoy your weekend this weekend, and hopefully the Broncos can make a comeback so the Browns can lose.
Not looking too good right now as a Broncos fan. Not too happy, but as always, thank you so much for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.